Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We just pray that our hearts and our ears will be open to you. I pray that you would use your servant, Walter, Lord God, this morning as a vessel to speak to us, Lord, your word and what you would have us to hear. May we receive it with thanksgiving and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tomorrow, as you already know, we already talked about, is Valentine's Day. So you might think what you just heard there in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shouldn't die, shouldn't perish, but have eternal life." So you might think that I'd start there and that it'd be the focus of my message today. It's in there. And love is part of the theme today. But what I want to really talk about, surrounding all that, that love, is the glory of God. Because I think that's what this passage really gets to. After looking at it for quite a bit and learning, this, by the way, this message doesn't come from years of knowledge of this passage. It comes from recent study. One of the best things that you can do to learn about something is to try to teach it. So the revelations that I have understood here are not because I am well learned in the scriptures as I should be, but because I have concentrated on this and studied it. But I'd like to share with you some of the things that came out, some of the things that I found. The glory of God is the theme that I want to get to. And I'm going to back up a little bit. We're going to start at the beginning of this passage. And I ask Joey if he would help me with that, because we're going to do a little bit for the first maybe few minutes, if you come up. We're going to take you into the scene. I'll be Nicodemus, and he's going to read the parts of Jesus there. And I want to tell you who I am as Nicodemus, give you a little background on myself, and then we're going to look at this meeting that Jesus had with Nicodemus, and you realize that Nicodemus was taught in this situation. Jesus taught Nicodemus. He also teaches us at the same time. So we're going to look at this. There's a teacher position. There's a student or a learner's position. We're going to look at this mostly from the learner's position. That's where we are most of our lives. So let me tell you a little bit about myself as Nicodemus. I was a pretty good Jewish boy. I don't look Jewish, do I? I was a pretty good Jewish boy. I grew up in the synagogue. I actually grew up to be a Pharisee. A Pharisee is a teacher of religion. A Pharisee is a teacher for the Jews. Not only that, I became a member of the Sanhedrin. That's the ruling class of the Jews. That's the rulers of the Jews. So I did pretty well for myself. I'm one of the more educated men in the Jewish community about the scriptures of the laws and the prophets, what you would call the Old Testament. And I'm really proud of my position, actually. I have a good position here as a Pharisee and as a member of the Sanhedrin. And there are other people around here that are not Jews. We call them Gentiles, okay? I even talk to some of these Gentiles, and I get them to convert over to Judaism. Now, they don't become, like, they're not Jews by birth. They're sort of adopted into the family, okay? And so they're born into being Gentiles, but then we convert them over, and we even have ceremonies. We sort of sprinkle them with holy water, with water. And it's sort of like your baptism here, but we sprinkle them, and that symbolizes their new birth into our Jewish family. Enough about me for now. I heard Jesus was in town. I really want to talk to him because I know from the things that he does, and the things that I've heard about him, that he's come from God. He's a teacher from God. Don't know too much more about him, but it really wouldn't look good for me to go see him today because the Pharisees, the rest of the Pharisees, actually don't get along too well with him. They actually want to kill him. So it wouldn't look too good for me to go talk to him. However, now that it's nighttime, maybe I can go get some advice from him. Okay? Besides, he's probably pretty busy during the day anyway with all that preaching and healing and stuff. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. For no one can do these things that you do, these signs that you do, unless he comes from God. Now, did you notice that I used the term rabbi when I talked to him? Okay? That's a term of very high respect in our community. It's sort of like my honorable sir, great one, teacher. I did that out of respect. You know, we're not really a whole lot different, Jesus and me, okay? He's a teacher come from God. I'm an expert on God. I studied it all my life, and now I'm a Pharisee. Maybe he can even give me some advice so that I can make myself even better so I can get to heaven.
Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven.
Wow, where'd that come from? I didn't even ask him a question, and he's answering a question. Do you think he can read my mind? I told you what I was thinking. I didn't tell him what I was thinking. And why did he say most assuredly? That was translated into your language, English, so you could understand it. In the original language, he actually said, amen, amen, in the beginning of that sentence, instead of most assuredly. Those words are pretty strong. Whenever somebody says that at the beginning of the sentence, pay close attention. Because it means this is really important. This is something I really want you to pay attention to and learn. Amen, amen. Like true, true, or for real, for real. Therefore, the younger kids already left. But that's really where it comes from. This is like, if you listen to anything else, anything, this is the one I want you to hear, okay? And he said, unless one, it's pretty broad, unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of heaven. What did he just say? I know about being born again. I was telling you about it before. That can't be me. He can't mean me, Nicodemus. I'm a son of Abraham already. I was born into the family. Maybe I need to clean up my act a little bit. Maybe I have to get a little better. But he has to be talking about somebody else or something else besides the born again that I know. He can't be talking about that. Oh, watch this. Watch. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Most assuredly.
Ooh, there it goes again. Amen, amen. Pay attention, this is really important.
I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Water and the Spirit. That reminds me of when we studied Ezekiel's book. That, by the way, for you is in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. It reminds me when he says water and Spirit, where God said, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from your heart your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and carefully keep my laws. So that's very similar to the ceremonies. This water and spirit is very similar to the ceremonies that we perform for people reborn into the family of Judaism. Me, I'm already in the family. Did I mention that before? I'm a son of Abraham, direct descendant, naturally born into the family of God. But Jesus, if he says one or everybody has to be born again, he's taking everything that I've done, everything that I've worked for all my life, and he said it doesn't count anymore. It doesn't count toward getting to heaven. He's saying it's me who has to be born again. I don't quite get that. He says I don't just have to fix my life up. He says it has to be born again all over, totally born again from the Spirit, by the Spirit, from above. How can these things be?
Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
I know about Moses that he's talking about, Moses and the serpent in the wilderness. Thank you. We studied that. But what does that mean when he says the Son of Man has to be lifted up that way? Now that's the last that we hear exactly from Nicodemus in that passage. That's the last he speaks in that conversation. And this is where Jesus went from talking about earthly things to talking about heavenly things. First, he asserts his authority. He says, now, which one of us here in this conversation has ever been to heaven and knows what he's talking about? That'd be Jesus. because Nicodemus knows he wasn't. And he says, okay, so which of us would have been there? Which of us knows what they're talking about? That's me, Jesus. And he starts out with an example that Nicodemus would have known. Nicodemus knew all about Moses and the serpent in the wilderness. And I want us to take a look at that for just a minute. In your Bibles, turn to Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. Since Jesus gives this as an example of how he will be lifted up, it's a picture from the Old Testament. It's a picture of Christ's redemption of us. And let's take a look at that and then move forward to the fulfillment of this prophecy. Numbers chapter 21, starting at verse 4. They, the Israelites, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest the miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. And then anyone who was bitten by a snake looked at the bronze snake. If they looked at the bronze snake, they lived. So to be healed, all the people had to do was believe enough to look at this bronze snake that Moses made and live. Jesus said that's an example of how he has to be lifted up. It's a picture of him being lifted up not only on the cross, but up to heaven. So that whoever believes in him has faith in his substitution for us, and its faith in his death, will not die, but live, have eternal life. And John goes on to explain very simply, but very profoundly, the gospel, the core of the good news. That's when he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This is a world, we know, this is a world filled with sin and in need of salvation. Yet, as sinful as it is, God loved us so much that he didn't even spare his own Son, but gave him up to be lifted up on the cross, to die for us, to pay for our sins, so that all who look on him, all who believe in him, can live. Now, earlier in John, when we looked in chapter 1, let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12. And John says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And as Jesus told Nicodemus, we don't need fixing up. We need to be totally born again. And this new life that's made from what? From death, from nothing. This new life that's made from nothing, where does the power come from to create that? Well, there's a key for you. Create. Where does that power come from to create that? Let's go back further in John. John chapter 1, verse 1. What does it say? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now here's the one to watch. And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So he's the one that does the creating. Right? That's where creation comes from. So, and where do you see the glory of God more than in his creation? David, even in Psalms, says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." Being born again is an act of creation by the word of God. It is regeneration. You're made again. Okay? Not just cleaned up, not fixed up, not pulled up by your own bootstraps. Doesn't work. Right? You are made again. You are created again, new. We are new creations. This was Christ's mission. In chapter 3, verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." It's not all positive here. He also throws in the negative. What about the people who don't believe? Just like there were people in the wilderness bitten by the snakes who didn't believe enough to look on the snake, didn't believe that would save them, and they died. There are people who don't believe in the death and resurrection of the Son of God, and they die, and they are condemned because of their unbelief. He said, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So the believer in Christ never comes into judgment for his past sins or his present sins or his future sins. Now, I have to tell you at the same time, there is a difference between a Christian who sins and a non-Christian who sins. The major difference there is a Christian does not purpose in his heart to sin. He does sin. He's not perfect. But immediately he goes to God and confesses that sin. And God says he's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin. But it's different because a non-Christian does not purpose in his heart to sin. And he says, and this is the condemnation, that the light, Jesus, we already talked about, we already heard about that in the beginning of John. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Nicodemus didn't understand fully yet. Later on, he would see Jesus lifted up on the cross, and he would understand more. We don't know if he believed. It's possible. We do know that he spoke up for Jesus later. There's a mention of Nicodemus later when in the Sanhedrin they were condemning Jesus, and he said, he spoke up and said, "Well, is it our practice to condemn a person without even listening to him first? Shouldn't we hear him out?" And then he got in a lot of trouble for that. Later, after Jesus was crucified, Nicodemus came with Joseph of Arimathea, and he brought a lot of spices and things to anoint Jesus' body after his death for burial. We don't know. He may have believed and been born again. But what do we learn? He learned a lot there. What do we learn from the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus? First thing we learn, the first thing Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." Again, not just fixed up a little, or even a lot. We are dead in our sins. We must be recreated, regenerated, That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Take a look at Walt Jr., for instance. I think he was around here somewhere. Do you think he has any family resemblance? Not at all, exactly, right? He came to the world in the usual way. Born of the flesh. He inherited characteristics, mostly from me, apparently. Cindy says that she didn't have anything to do with it, but we inherit characteristics from our ancestors, from our parents, okay, including our sinful nature. Ever since, all the way back to the first Adam, we inherit our characteristics, including our sinful nature, from our parents. That which is born of the Spirit, however, is spirit. So being born again, just like your birth into flesh, being born again by God's grace through faith, we derive our new nature from where? Our new Father in heaven. From the Spirit of our new Father in heaven. We developed characteristics of our new family. So just like Walt looks pretty much like me. Matter of fact, Eddie, this morning, I think you thought that that was me when you were talking to. And Eddie's a friend I haven't seen for a while. But he saw Walter and thought it was me. And so even like you see characteristics of the family in the flesh, you should be able to see characteristics of the family in the spirit. So you should be able to look at Walter. You should be able to look at other Christians. You should be able to look at yourself and see characteristics of the new family that you're in, the one you've been adopted into, the one that you grow in this, by the Spirit, the family of God. In John, later in John, chapter 13, John says, by this, well, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Okay, so I did bring love back into it a little bit. God's plan for us is to believe in the person and in the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, who died to pay the great price for our sin. Then he rose again from the dead, and he sits on the right hand of the Father praying for us. In verse 21, he says, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might clearly be seen, that they have been done in God. When people see what God has done in our lives, and they know what our lives were like before that, when people see what's done in our lives, they should be able to see the transformation that could not possibly come from us and from inside our sinful nature. They should be able to see the work done by the power of God and say, nothing else could have done that. And say, as Matthew said in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So this whole package, this whole thing is packed around the glory of God, who has, for his own name's sake, saved us to show other people, to show the rest of the world what he has done. That it is in his power and his power alone that he's able to accomplish this creation, this recreation of our nature, this recreation of us. Let's pray. Father, we ask that as we have considered what you have to say to us this morning, that we will understand, that we'll understand fully and be able to put our full trust in you as our Savior and as the one who completes the work in us. And we ask that that will be evident to people outside, that they might see your work and glorify you, and then also put their trust in you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we finish, before we... did you take my first pages? Yes, kept them. What I'd like to do, and I like to do this, after we talk about a passage, you don't normally read the scripture first and then talk about a passage. I would like to read it again, now in light of everything we talked about. And I would hope that we now have even some more background and understanding of it as we hear it. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him and said, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered him and said, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and testify that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may clearly be seen that they have been done in God."